You're listening to Equip Season 5, Understanding and Interpreting the Bible. This is Week 1, The Gospels, taught by Dr. Jonathan Pennington, an author and professor of New Testament interpretation. This week's participants are Andrew and Kristen Gish and LeVar Allen. You're on Session 2.
So in our last discussion, we started to talk about the question of genre, and I wanted to pick back up on that. We were asking, the first question is, what are the Gospels? And now in this one, we wanted to talk about, and why do we need the Gospels? And that genre question, or what type of literature the Gospels are, is important. And while they are ancient biographies for sure, when you open up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see there's some other stuff going on that we wouldn't expect in a biography. Like we were talking about, if you read a modern biography today, you probably wouldn't expect there to be a parable in the middle of there, right? Although maybe sometimes there would be. And there's also another kind of genre that you'll be talking about in another set of recordings on apocalyptic or like future kind of image-laden image ideas about the end times and future. There's some of that in the Gospels too. So there's parables, there's apocalyptic. But they're all framed as biographies. And the definition that I give for what the Gospels are that'll lead into why we need them is that our canonical Gospels are the theological, historical, and here's your fancy word of the day, aretogenic or aretological. That just means meant to form us to be virtuous people. They're forming us. They are the theological, historical, aretogenic, biographical narratives that retell the story and proclaim the significance of Jesus Christ, who through the power of the Spirit is the restorer of God's reign. So you can hear that kingdom of God, the restorer of God's reign. Hope you can hear the Trinity in that, the Spirit and the Son and the Father God. But what I want to point out is that they are theological, historical, and aretogenic or aretological. I think the second one of those is probably what we're most used to thinking about, that they are historical. We believe the Gospels tell stories that really happened. And as the Apostle Paul will say later in one of his letters, if all this stuff isn't true, then we're really fools. I mean, like, why would we live our life in these Christian ways if the resurrection of Jesus didn't really happen? There's really very little reason. Yeah. I mean, there are some good things about Christianity, maybe, but in many ways, it involves a lot of suffering. It involves a lot of self-sacrifice. It involves not just doing whatever we want. And so if it's not true, then we're pretty dumb, really. Might as well just eat, drink, and be merry, as Paul says. So the Gospels are historical. We believe these things really happened. But in many ways, that's the least important thing about them. Now, hear me clearly. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. History does matter. But the purpose of the Gospels, why we need the Gospels, is not just to give us an historical account of what happened. It's actually to shape us. Why we need the Gospels is to shape us to learn to be like Christ. This fundamental idea in the Bible is what we call imitation. Not in the bad sense of like imitation crab or something like that, but in the good sense of imitating somebody. You see a great basketball player, you learn their shot. You see a great golfer, you see a great teacher, you see a great businessman, you see a great businesswoman, whatever it is, how we really learn as people is through imitation.
Yeah.
And that's great. That's how God has made us. We learn from our parents, for good and for bad, how to be in the world, right? We learn from teachers and mentors, for good or for bad, how to inhabit the world. That's the fundamental nature of imitation. And so the Gospels are really central to the Christian faith because they so clearly show us who we are to imitate. And this gets to this really big idea that I think in many of our Christian churches, we have not understood clearly enough. And that is that the crucial, central, foundational truth of Christianity is what we call the incarnation, that God has actually become
a human.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That God has become a human, fully God and fully man in Jesus Christ. And the reason that's so important is because that's actually what separates Christianity from Judaism. Mm-hmm. It's what separates Christianity from Islam. It's what separates Christianity from any other philosophy of life. Yeah. It's actually claiming that God has become a human. And the incarnation that we celebrate at Christmas, but we should be celebrating all the time, I think drives all the other truths of the New Testament. Because Jesus' death and resurrection, for example, which are very important, we celebrated Good Friday and Easter, those doctrines, those truths really get their power and their lasting significance because Jesus was God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In other words, there were other people that rose from the dead. Jesus even raised some people from the dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lazarus, the little girl who, for 12-year-old girl who had died, mm-hmm. but they went on to die again. Mm-hmm. And their death and resurrection didn't do anything for us. But because Jesus is God and he took upon sin and then conquered it by rising from the dead.
That's right.
That changes our lives and changes the world.
Mm-hmm.
We could look at all the other truths and teachings, what we call the doctrines of the New Testament, and I think they would all come down to getting their weight, their significance, their sense from the fact of the incarnation. Mm-hmm. So I've really come to believe that the incarnation is crucial. And one of the other things that the incarnation does, then it validates, it emphasizes that God cares about humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He actually cares about humans.
Amen.
Not just in an abstract way of like God loves the world.
Mm-hmm.
He actually cares about our bodies. He cares about these creatures that he has made that are the only creatures in all the things God has made that actually have his own stamp, his mm-hmm. own image, like hot wax stamped into us. We're the only creatures that bear his image. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the incarnation shows us that God cares about humanity by being willing to become a human himself.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what does this mean? Well, this means we need the Gospels. Because as good as the rest of the New Testament is, the what we call the epistles, the apocalyptic literature, the book of Acts, as great as the Old Testament is, we need all that, the prophetic literature, the Pentateuch, all these things. The Gospels are absolutely central to Christianity. They're the heart of it because to be a Christian is to be a follower of the Christ. That's what Christian means. It means a little Christ, not that you and I are God like Jesus is, but that we are imitating him. The Apostle Paul will say it this way, imitate me as I imitate Christ, right? This is the chain of imitation. And that it all goes back to actually living in the world as Jesus lived.
Mm-hmm.
And so the biographies, the Gospels that are biographies, are what we need more than anything else if you're going to be a Christian. Because when you read, if you've ever read like the book of Romans or you've read Philippians or Colossians or 1st or 2nd Peter, they're all great books and they teach us so many great things. But what they don't do, because they can't, is they don't give us stories about who Jesus was, what he said for the most part, and again, as I talked about in the last time, what he was like, how did he treat people, what was his attitude like, what was his, you know, perspective on things. That's what we need the Gospels for, because if you and I are going to be a follower of Jesus, we need stories about him. Mm-hmm. We don't need just doctrines that teach us truths. Those are good too.
Mm-hmm.
We need actual stories and examples of his own teachings. So that's so important to think about why we need the Gospels. I'll pause here. Any questions on that, or does that stimulate any thoughts or ideas or questions?
Yeah, it is good to know what separates your religion from other mm-hmm. religions. You know, and I know that also comes with, you know, opposition and ridicule and even persecution.
Yeah.
But it's what we hold to, what mm-hmm. we know to believe. And that's it's good. It's good to be a part of knowing that the Creator,
mm-hmm.
incarnate, became man. experienced everything we experienced, temptations and all, overcame it.
Yeah.
And your religion can't relate to that or tell me, you know, explain that to me.
Yeah.
So
yeah, every religion and philosophy gives some morals and some behaviors to do, which are good. Christianity does as well. Mm-hmm. But no other religion or philosophy has God, as you rightly pointed out, being with us and able to sympathize with what it means to be a human, you know. And the book of Hebrews in the New Testament especially does a good job of kind of unpacking this idea of how how much God can sympathize with our weaknesses and is a priest for us who is sympathetic. And that's what we see in the Gospels as well, you know. So also to the answer then to the question of why we need the gospel. So the central idea is the incarnation. But it's also, spinning off everything I've said, is the image I've come to talk about in one of my books is that the gospel is like an archway into the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. So if you think about like walking through an arch, like a stone arch, you've got two sides to it and like what we call a keystone in the top. Mm-hmm. The Gospels are that keystone. And what I mean by that is you imagine one side of the arch is like the Old Testament, all the things going on in the Old Testament that teach us about who God is and who, and that tell us what God has done in history and also that promise that God's going to do some new things in the future, right? Mm-hmm. And it's very important that Christians understand we don't get rid of the Old Testament. Like now that we have a New Testament, we don't unhitch the Old Testament. That's we don't deny it. We don't think it's like God used to be grouchy and now he's nice or something. Mm-hmm. Like you might think that when you read the Old Testament. But the Old Testament is still part of this archway of the whole Bible. We as Christians, it's really important to emphasize we have a two Testament canon, which just means we have an Old Testament and a New Testament together. In fact, in some ways, Old Testament is kind of an unfortunate term because that makes it sound like who wants an iPhone 3 or something? Like nobody, right? Unless you're like really like into vintage or something, but even that would be a horrible albums or something. I can understand that iPhone 3 wouldn't do you much good. But the Old Testament, it's really the Elder Testament, as some scholars call it. Mm-hmm. So there is something new that's come, but it's not bad. It's not something to get rid of. Mm-hmm. But then you have the Gospels, but then you have the rest of the New Testament. That's the other side of the archway. Acts, Paul's letters, what we call the general epistles. So 1st, 2nd Peter, James, Jude, into the book of Revelation. And I think it's really helpful to think about the Gospels as that keystone because all the Old Testament points finally to Jesus and the Gospels. And then the rest of the New Testament, Acts and the epistles, are actually thinking back to what Jesus said and did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Again, because of the incarnation, because we're following him, what you find in Romans and 1st and 2nd Peter and Revelation, et cetera, is usually a correction to mistaken ideas about who Jesus is and what he said and did. Mm-hmm. Because it turns out the churches in the first century were just like us, just like our churches, in that we have some good ideas and some bad ideas. Mm-hmm. We have some good moments and some bad moments. We have some good practices and some bad practices, right? So the epistles, again, play this really important role, but they're always looking back because the churches were just like us. They were making mistakes. They had good ideas and bad ideas. Sometimes they did stupid things. Sometimes they did smart things. And that's what the epistles are there for, to correct mistakes. But the heart of Christianity, the keystone into the archway of our understanding of the Bible, I think, is the Gospels. Now, you could joke with me and say, well, you know, you have a PhD in the Gospels and this is what you do for a living. So there is a job security issue here. I get that. But I think it's more than that. I think the Gospels are more than that. So the last thing I'll say about this and then see if you have any questions is that not only I think are the Gospels central, they are the culmination because of the incarnation. It's also good to recognize, going back to this genre idea, that there are different types of literature. There are really different ways that God speaks truth to us. We can call these different discourses of truth, which is just a fancy way of saying we learn in different ways. And we do learn by direct teaching, a great sermon, a great book, maybe a rebuke or reproof. A friend comes alongside you and says, hey, that's not the way to do this, or here's the better way to do it. But you know, the I think the most powerful way that we learn is through stories. Mm-hmm. And this goes back to the imitation idea as well. Through images, either like a movie or sometimes a painting even, or just a great novel, a great story. I always joke that I'm just a New Testament scholar to support my novel reading habit because I love stories. And I think the reason I love stories is because that's who we are as people. We learn by stories. Yeah. We figure out ourselves by stories. We are inspired by stories. Mm-hmm. Stories aren't just for kids. Right?
No,
this is the problem is if we relegate stories off, well, that's for kids and now I'm into doctrine or something. Well, I don't want to hang out with you because you're probably really boring, right? In fact, most of the Bible is stories. 75 or 80% of the Bible, if you shoot any page, 75 or 80% of it is story, right? And that's how God has made us, that we learn through stories. So here's a great quote from a poet that speaks to this. He's going to call it art, but we could put story in there as well. So art or story addresses us in the fullness of our being, simultaneously speaking to our intellect, our emotions, our intuition, our imagination, our memory, and our physical senses. There are some truths about life that can be expressed only as stories or songs or images. If you let that sink in, I think that's really true. Mm-hmm. The most powerful things we experience. In fact, you know, I often tell preachers, you know, you really need to work on your illustrations and your stories because that's actually what everybody remembers. Mm-hmm. When people go home, once the pot roast hits the table, they didn't remember anything except for some great story you told, which means we shouldn't look down on our congregations for that or ourselves for that. We should recognize that's because that's how God has made us. The great stories are what you remember. Mm-hmm. And this is the gift of the Gospels to us. Mm-hmm. We need them because they are these powerful stories, the most true stories and the most important stories about the God who has become a human, who models for us what God's kingdom is like and invites us to follow in his way so that we too might experience true human flourishing, true life. Mm-hmm. I'll end with John 10:10. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly.
Yeah.
He's not just talking about eternal life and forgiveness of sins. He is talking about that. He's talking about life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That we might actually experience life imperfectly, amen, with flaws, with brokenness, with cancers, with death. But even in the midst of all that, we can experience life. And his teachings and his model and the stories of his life are there to train us and to invite us into this kind of life.
Yeah. I like that you just pointed out, and, you know, we serve a creative God, that we all kind of have creative tendencies. Like, we're not like robotic and just have like one in, one out.
Yeah.
Like the way that the Bible teaches us through all these stories. I mean, the Bible doesn't change. And so we hear these same stories over and over again. We may glean something else different every time we hear it.
As we get older and as we understand things more, if we've never faced great suffering or something, a story that may not mean as much to us before. I remember my wife had a brain tumor a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I remember we were down here at Fraser in the hospital rehab for a couple of weeks. And of course, I've taught the Gospels forever. But when we read the story about the paralytic, when we didn't know if my wife was ever going to walk again, like that had a weight that it had not had before, you know, I think is an example. So,
I thought what was impactful for me was your explanation of the reincarnation being a significant part of the Gospel, because having two young children and asking both basic but complex questions like, well, if, you know, my uncle doesn't know who God is, does he still love him? And being able to say with reassurance that, like, yes, because we have that stamp, that image of God, you know, created in all of us, not just Christians, but all of us, so that we all may turn to him and see his face. So.
That's beautiful. Yeah, the incarnation is so crucial to motivate us to care for all people. Mm-hmm. As Jesus himself is going to teach in Matthew, God causes his sun and his rain to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. Mm-hmm. And he cares for all of his creation because we're all made in his image. That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, in our third session, then we'll turn more specifically and more practically to, okay, well, if the Gospels are these amazing biographies that are central to the Christian faith that invite us to imitate Jesus so that we might be his kingdom citizens, how do you actually drill down and really look at a gospel story and study it? So that's what we'll talk about in our next session.